May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. As far as White House press secretaries go, I have for some time now had a clear favorite. Her name is Claudia Jean Craig, CJ Craig, played by Allison Janney in the TV series The West Wing. She is razor sharp and delivers one-liners with gusto. Whatever your political inclinations, she is in the show an easily likable character, a person who seems to be genuinely trying to do the right thing, a person who tries as best she can to act with integrity, whatever the current situation on her plate happens to be. It's surprising, therefore, when viewers find out a few seasons in that CJ has done something she feels deeply ashamed of, a brief and fleeting indiscretion that will not in the end be revealed to the public because it has the potential to bring her whole character into question. So she sits in her office alone at night, staring at a blank wall filled with regret, and her friend Toby sits across from her, poised and ready to hear her confession. If I could take back one moment of my life, she trails off. I'm sorry, she says. You don't have to apologize to me, Toby responds. And she notes with some remorse, but I don't have anyone else to apologize to. There's a small glimmer of gratitude in her statement. Gratitude for a friend who listens, for a brief moment of respite from her own remorse. It's a powerful thing to forgive. It is arguably just as powerful, maybe even more powerful, to be forgiven, to confess our faults, repent and return, refusing to let our worst moments define us. In the context of today's gospel, it is tempting to think first of the act of forgiving, not of the moments where we have been forgiven. Yet the focus of the parable, the starting point of Jesus' account of how we ought to forgive, begins with being the recipients of a great forgiveness, a great mercy. We are to forgive not just 7 times, but 77 times. We have, after all, been forgiven just as much. Now, it may seem like an odd number, 77, but as George mentioned in his sermon last week, context is everything. Jesus, in this passage, is making a subtle reference to an early scene in the book of Genesis, a scene that you may be familiar with. Cain, after killing his brother Abel, is granted a strange mercy. This may be the part of the story that you don't remember. God sends Cain out, but promises to protect him from harm, despite of what he's done, avenging whomever tries to hurt him sevenfold. And despite this surprising moment of undeserved grace, the fall continues forward, extending down Cain's line. A few generations later, Lamech, a descendant of Cain, turns God's promise of mercy into a curse. Lamech kills a man for wounding him, a young man simply for striking him, and he promises that if Cain was to be avenged sevenfold by God, Lamech will return the wrath 77-fold. To God's unmerited mercy, Cain's descendants respond with unmerited, disproportionate violence. It is in the context of our propensity toward wrathful vengeance over mercy that we are to understand today's parable. Jesus, you see, the great teacher of the gospel in Matthew, the second Adam in Paul's letter to the Romans, ups the ante on all the descendants of Cain. To our vengeful wrath, God will always, always respond with extravagant mercy. And he expects his followers to do likewise. In just a week, we will begin a book group on Brian Stevenson's book, Just Mercy. It's the account of a lawyer who worked with prisoners on death row. And he has a few stories to share about the inequities of the criminal justice system, the issues he faced there. But at the heart of it is a human account of what it means to forgive. He takes away two lessons from his time on death row. First, each of us is more than the worst thing we have ever done. Let that sink in. Secondly, the true measure of our character is not our commitment to the rule of law or fairness and equality to the rich and powerful, but how we treat the poor and disfavored, the accused, incarcerated, and condemned. That's the true measure of our character. And that is the way of Jesus, the one who stops the cycle of vindictive, vengeful wrath and counters it with abundant mercy. After all, mercy would not be mercy if it was ever deserved. In a few moments, we'll say the confession together. That's a communal practice we do here every Sunday. It is a communal practice that takes the form of the rite of reconciliation, which any person is welcome to ask for from clergy here at St. Paul's as well. But the point of reconciliation, the point of confession, isn't to dwell on our sins as if they have marked us forever. The point is to release them, turn from them, confident in the promises made at our baptism that has marked us as Christ's own forever. I invite you today to receive God's forgiveness and remember that you have always been more than the worst thing you've ever done. I invite you to receive God's forgiveness and imagine what it might be like to do likewise. Amen.